All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. Ladies, let's talk real talk here. You probably have days when the PMS has you feeling like you could eat anything in sight. My goodness, the cravings and the general discomfort. Well, say goodbye to those days with Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth. Let's dive into why Hormone Harmony is not just another supplement, but a true game changer. First off, it's not just a trend, it's a phenomenon. Social media is buzzing with women singing praises about Hormone Harmony. In fact, a bottle flies off the shelves every 24 seconds. Can y'all believe that? Now let's talk about Happy Mammoth, the brilliant minds behind this wonderful product. They're all about making your life easier, and that means no compromises on quality. They've meticulously crafted Hormone Harmony using only science-backed ingredients proven to work wonders for women like us. But here's my favorite part. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, nature's little miracle workers. These herbal extracts help your body adapt to life stressors, especially those pesky hormonal changes that can throw us off balance. And here's the kicker. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. It's your secret weapon against those hormonal imbalances that can wreak havoc on your life. From hot flashes and night sweats to racing thoughts and low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back. And yes, it even tackles the occasional bloat and that not tonight boo feeling. The real benefit here, the real win, feeling like yourself again. That's why countless women are raving about it in over 17,000 glowing reviews. We love a verified product, honey. Now here's your chance to experience the magic firsthand. For a limited time, you can get a fabulous 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BRAVADO at checkout. So what are you waiting for, homegirl? Say hello to balanced hormones and goodbye to those days of feeling like a roller coaster. Your journey to hormone harmony starts now. This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, mental health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, when we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our intention is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back to our channel. Welcome back to our channel,
boo-boos.
Welcome.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to our channel.
Welcome back to the channel.
First of all, if you're new, you need to be rate, following, and subscribing.
Turn those post notifications on.
That little bell. Hit that bell.
Hit that bell so you never miss content from me.
Yes. So how's it going?
It's going good. How was your weekend? What's popping?
My weekend was lit. Mm-hmm. When I think back to the time.
Yeah.
Saturday, I was up at the crack of dawn because I had a floral job to do. Girl, I had to get up at 4:30. We had to get up at 4:30.
Absolutely not.
We had to get up at 4:30. Well, my alarm went off at 4:30 so that I can be up and out by 5 to be at Kayla's house so that we could leave by 5:30 and get down there at 6 a.m. when it opened. Because it was Mother's Day, we were anticipating it was going to be lit, but...
It wasn't?
It was like Black Friday. Like... The blocks were lined with cars.
Lies.
Like the parking lots were filled back to back. No Drake and Meek Mill. Like oh it was really, God. It was so, you know, the flower district, just flower market is already like a lot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Usually that's the reason to go early. So like, it's just an easeful experience.
Y'all would have had to been standing out there at 4:30.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking
It was
up.
So much drill. I had to double mask. And you know, I don't even be tripping. Yeah. Like, I had to double mask. I said, there's too much happening. Where's my other mask? So,
Lord.
Did that on Friday. I mean, did that early Saturday. Came back, put together all the arrangements. And then hit up the Kids of Immigrants pop-up, which, thanks to Andres and his DJing, was a full-on fucking function.
Yeah.
The drinks were flowing. The moves were moving. And... That was my Saturday.
The time was being had.
Sunday. Just chilled.
Yeah, it was more low key.
Went to lunch, but still the margaritas were flowing there as well.
Yeah.
And oh, I went on a hike too.
That was nice.
I went on a hike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On Friday, after work, I ended up going to the first night of the pop-up, the little friends and family rendition. And at that, they had a little open, like wine and little spirits.
So that, spirits.
that was fun. And Andres DJ for just a smidge, just for a little bit, but there was music. Electric Slide was happening. You know, always. The vibes. Yeah. And then of course I was there on Saturday. Great time. The way he does that music, I said, I really got me one.
Yeah.
God knew.
My mom said, Germany's boyfriend, y'all look like y'all have fun. Germany's boyfriend be jamming.
He really does.
Well, you know, she knows how he did.
Yeah.
Because when we were at Jack's birthday, yeah. She said the same thing.
Yeah. He knows which combination of music to hit. Mm-hmm. I say, babe, you know my songs.
Yeah.
You know what I want to jiggle this jelly to. And then, yeah, Sunday kept it low key. And now we're here and it's going to be a great week.
It is claiming it.
Yeah. What else is popping?
What else is popping is we need you.
Actually, what else is not popping?
That's yeah.
You know, what haven't you all done this week?
They have not left their ratings and their reviews. Now, I don't know how else to tell y'all.
It's necessary.
I'm going to say it, though, until I'm blue in the face. We need you all to do your part and take the time to leave a rating and a review. For this podcast, it's not even a request anymore. It's a damn demand.
The mandatory.
It's a demand. It's mandatory. It's your ticket to sit here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, come on. It really helps the show.
Do your part.
I'm going to go ahead and read our review of the week, which comes from Taylor Dawkins, who says 1 year anniversary. I've officially been listening to my sisters for a year. I've never found a podcast I connected with so well before. Every time I see an upload, I get excited because I know it's going to be good. The topics hit and the growth is real. I love you guys.
Love you.
Love you, Taylor.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Do you know what today is?
It's anniversary. Anniversary.
Okay. I was taking a second.
Made for you and me.
So thanks for leaving that. Thank you also to the Boo Boo Baby who fixed her review.
She corrected it.
She came back and fixed it up.
Yes.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yes.
You know where else you can join us and show your support? over on Patreon.
Yes.
That's our exclusive membership community where we're providing additional bonus content. The playlist is currently up. Hope you all enjoy that. We also have a bonus episode this month for the besties. We're going to be talking about post-traumatic growth.
Yes.
So if you're interested in that, this is probably a really great time to listen to that episode.
This
the world is opening back up.
Yes.
You might have experienced some a shift or some growth that's on the horizon. So if you're interested in the topic or just don't know what the fuck it is and you like what we do here, you'll love it over there. So come join us.
Also, that's the way that we're able to control our own narrative on Patreon and really fund the podcast. Yes, we get ads, but Patreon, I feel like we have more control over that than we do the ad content. We don't always have ads. So support the girls over on Patreon. That information is down in the show notes.
It goes down.
Let's shout out our patron of the week. We only have one. She is a bestie, though. So shout out to her. And her name is Sharda, or maybe Sharda.
Hey, girl. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. We appreciate you so much. I believe your pre-rolls were mailed out last week because I did a little batch of shipment.
Let us know if you love them.
Yes.
They're really, really good.
They are.
Mm-hmm. So no new week, new tea.
No.
This week. We have a really jam-packed episode, so
we
want to get into that and make sure that, you know, the shit ain't dumbass long and y'all not tired of it. So we're not doing any tea this week. But I will let you know that last week's episode, we chatted. Well, we kicked off our series, our Mom's Making It Happen series.
We did.
This month is really special. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. And we celebrate the mamas in May. So this month we're chatting with all of the homegirls who are doing their thing as mothers. Last week we chatted with Jessica Rose and we talked about destigmatizing the term baby daddy, baby mama. She's a fucking lit ass TikTok mom. So, I mean, if you're interested in that journey and
she's hilarious
chatting with or listening to her chat about kind of healing and doing the work that she's doing, definitely tap into that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Some good shit.
It's there for you.
It's there for you.
So this week we're continuing with the moms and we're going to take it a route that is not often taken when we talk about motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in a route that I'm sure a lot of people go down or are interested in, and it's weed.
Welcome to the world of weed.
Weed. And that's what we're talking about. That's the route we're going.
Mm-hmm. I know you're not a mom, but what's your experience been with weed?
My experience with weed, I first smoked weed in high school when I was, I think 18. No, seven, no, I was not even 18 in high school. 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Crystal was an avid weed smoker, and I've always been a social smoker.
Yeah.
I've always been like, oh, okay, if there's weed available, I'll hit it. You know what I'm saying? But I've never purchased my own weed. I barely even knew how to roll weed up.
Yeah.
It was just something like I partook in if it was available.
Yeah, if it's here, I'm taking it.
So that was my relationship with weed. And as I've evolved, that's been the relationship that I've maintained. It's something that I partake in socially. It's not something that I feel like I need, like, to regulate my mood or to, you know, function. It's just something that I enjoy doing from time to time, being high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Enhance the experience, whatever I'm engaging in, indulging in at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I rock with it. That's the way I rock with it. But I know that everybody has a different relationship. Like my friend Crystal, she was telling me she spends $1,300 a month on weed.
Are you fucking kidding
me? And if you do smoke
me?
Weed a lot, yeah, this shit's expensive. Like an eighth is $80.
$1,300? That alone make me quit. Cold turkey.
Yeah, that alone. It's an expensive habit, but it's just like, you know, medicine for some people or just like the equivalent of getting your groceries for the week. It's like I'm getting my groceries and I'm getting my drug.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
So. Yeah, that's been my personal experience with it. How about yours?
I'm kind of the same. I like took a little toke back when I was a young tot.
The toke.
Say that a few times fast. Yeah, I was kind of young, but it wasn't anything that I, like, maintained. It didn't become a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, I didn't really like to smoke at all.
Why not?
Because I didn't have a great experience with it the first time. It like burned, it hurt, I hit it wrong. So I was immediately turned off and I was like, that's not the vibe I want. So it wasn't until many, many moons later, I sound all old. I think I was probably like 20 when I started smoking again socially. 21 really.
Mm-hmm.
When I started smoking socially, and that's because my boo at the time was dealing.
The man in my life.
Was dealing. So, you know. The dealing of weed.
Dealing.
Mm-hmm. So he would just give it to me at that point. So it was free. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing the purchase either. And now, same vibe. If it's around or somebody gives it to me, I'll indulge in it. But it's not nothing that I'm like, I gotta smoke. Mm-hmm. And I really, that was something that I hated in my previous relationship. Like the being so heavily dependent on weed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wake up, gotta smoke. Before we go out to dinner, you gotta smoke.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it becomes a handicap or like a crutch. But I do know that there are benefits. I don't shame anybody who wants to smoke. That specifically was just impacting me, so I fucking hated it. But if you want to get high, I don't give a goddamn.
Yeah, I don't care. As long as you're able
to function. Yeah.
Then well, it's cool. Because if it becomes a point where it's like, you high and tapped out.
Yeah.
It's like, put it down.
Yeah. And that's the way my mom always explained weed to me. When
she
explained
it to you?
Yeah.
What did she say?
Because when like my stepdad, who was helping to raise us at the time, we knew he smoked weed because we could smell it. He would only smoke it. Yeah. In their room, windows open or on the balcony, but we would smell it. And then as I grew a little bit older, maybe like 15, 16, my mom like would say like, I'm gonna hit my joint or I'm gonna hit my J. And then she said, you know, weed is cool. Like, you know, it's not bad, but you have to be responsible. You have to make sure your business is taken care of before you decide to smoke. So this ain't the type of thing that you just get and you just sit on the couch and smoke all day and you don't have your shit together.
Mm-hmm.
All of your business needs to be handled before you get the opportunity. It was more like a, what is that called? Like a treat, if you will. Like this could be the benefit or the treat. I don't know how else to
yeah,
say
it. I know what you mean.
You feel me? Like
a little reward.
A little reward for making sure that all your business is tapped and taken care of, your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, then you can relax like this. But if your shit ain't together and your feet ain't been on the ground and your feet ain't been on the pavement, then you don't need to be doing this. You don't deserve it. So it was always presented to me with a level of responsibility and accountability. Like, don't think you just gonna be smoking weed.
Yeah.
And that's how she explained it, that she was doing it. Like, my shit is together. We don't have a worry, so.
See, my mom never explained it to me. So this is how my parental relationship with weed was. One time I had my mom's car. Mm-hmm. I was in my mom's car and I was out with my friends. And, you know, we had got lit. And I think I was driving and we had smoked outside of my mom's car. But, you know, sometimes if you got that sticky icky, yeah, it goes in. And so I got home and I'm like, the smell is lingering.
Oh, my God.
The smell was lingering in the whip. I was so shook. And like, so I got home and everything's cool. The next day, my mom was about to leave in her car. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I went in the garage to see if the smell was still there before she got in there. And I'm like,
definitely still here.
Still sticky. So she went into when she was going into the garage, I said, your car may smell weird, but
you gave yourself away.
I made up an excuse about why it smelled weird. Away. So she went.
I give myself
she
away.
She went into the garage and immediately the garage door opened back up. And I was standing in the hallway and she just fucking slapped me. She just fucking slapped me and I was dramatic and I fell to the ground like, ah! She was like, why did you lie? You were smoking in my car. Like, why would you lie about that? And I'm like, I wasn't lying. Zada, like, and so.
Brittany, I could only imagine you as a young teenage girl sitting there, you didn't lie.
I wasn't lying. So anyway, that's like when I was 17. And then when we talked about weed again, it was when I was an adult and she was knowingly smoking. But yeah. She's always had the like same relationship with the weed that I've had, like
social. If it's around, I'll hit.
It's around, I'll hit. But now our relationship with weed is we're trading edibles.
The edible exchange. That's what I'm like, Mom, what are you doing over there?
Cece keeps it on her.
Keeps a gummy on her. I said, now what are you doing?
A gummy, a cookie. Once my mom was like,
girl, getting high.
I got a cookie that I got from Cece. I'm like, hold on, when were cookies exchanged?
Oh God. So that's our experience. But we have Shanitria, Blunt Blowing Mama, mm-hmm. who's gonna chat about her experience, drop some knowledge
as a cannabis friendly mom.
Yeah. And hopefully just assist with normalizing the conversation around mothers who smoke weed and also spreading the message that moms who smoke weed aren't bad moms.
Yeah.
So let's get into it.
Here we go. Hey, y'all. So we are well into our Moms Making It Happen series where we are chatting with cool moms doing cool shit.
Yeah.
You know, I love it here. Germany and I aren't moms, but...
We definitely are not. Our time will come, but it's not now. Now is not that time.
Right. So today we have Shanitria. She's a Blunt Blowing Mama, a wellness and self-care advocate, host of Blunt Blowing Mama podcast, where she discusses parenting, sex and relationships, and the destigmatization of marijuana use.
Love all of that.
You love that? Yes. She was once an editor and a journalist, but she is now an entrepreneur and podcaster. So, Shanitria, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you guys. I love that I'm considered a cool mom. That's so dope. That's all I ever aspired to be in life, was just a cool mom. So everything else you said was cool too. That was also spot on. But thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. Quick question. Were you one of those people who always wanted to be a mom? Like deep down, you just wanted to be a mother?
No, I actually don't like children.
Okay.
That's like the funny part. Like, I never was like the person who, you know, volunteered to babysit people's kids. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, when you're at the family function and the one cousin has a kid and they go use the bathroom, somebody wants, they're like, anybody want to hold the baby? And there's like at least three women like salivating trying to like hold this baby. Mm-hmm. I'm like, actually, the way this outfit is set up, it's a no for me, dog. Like, I'm going to have to pass on the baby. Right. But I appreciate it. Like, I hope you can make it to the rescue. Like, you know, like that was never me, but I'm one of those people where it's like I really don't care much for kids, but I fucking love my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was about like, you know, if I ever found myself in the right relationship where I was with a man who I knew would be a good father, then like, why the fuck not have kids? Like, I did want kids, but it was like, and I was going to have kids with or without a man. Like, that's the thing. Like, I was going to have kids. I didn't like kids, but I knew that I would fuck with my kids. And because my kids would be like, kids would be fucking part of me. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
This was going to be fucking game changer. So I was like, all right, like, it's going to be good. So, but, you know, met a guy and boom, boom, boom. You know, we got two kids.
Wow. So you have two. How old are they?
They're 6 and 2.
Oh,
my daughter is 6 and my son is 2.
I'm sure your boo-boo was so happy once he got his son. They love to get a son.
Oh my God. He literally, I can't even say it, but yes, he was very happy when he found out it was a boy. He was like, I was like, dang, so like having a daughter meant nothing to you, huh? Like,
no.
He wanted, well, the funny part is now that he has a son, like while they do hang out and have a close relationship, the plot twist is that he's actually like, you know, our son is a mama's boy.
Aww.
So like he's obsessed with me, and like he could care less for his dad sometimes. He'll be like, I appreciate everything you do for us as aunt, and I love you, dad. I just want you to know that, but I'm gonna be in mom's lap like all night. And I don't want you to touch me.
Oh, hell no. I would be giving him away. Actually, he's going to touch you.
Go bond with your father. So you used to be an editor for ABC News, Huffington Post, and more. Now we have you here as a podcast host, a brand owner, and a Mary Jane or marijuana advocate. Tell us about how you got here. Like, what was that transition like?
Oh my gosh, well, it's such a long story, but I could tell the TLDR, too long didn't read. Journalism is got a rep for being a competitive field, and that's because it is. Like, it's very, I wouldn't say cut, well, broadcast probably is cutthroat, but like, I was in on the digital side, so always working for the online portion of publication. So like, I worked at Reader's Digest, but I was doing like readersdigest.com, not the actual print, and like ABC News doing like their digital like side, not on the TV.
right, we get it.
But you know, it was so it's a different pace, it's a different life. And I was just having so many moments in life where like I thought that like I needed to move from New York to be happier and to not be as stressed, because I felt like, dang, like New York is just stressing me out. Like, this is such a stressful place. And I had been living there for almost 6 years. And so me and my man and my daughter at the time, who was just like maybe 15 or 18 months or something, we all moved to LA. And I was like, it's going to be better, da, da, da. But I was still working as a journalist because I moved to our job. And I ended up getting laid off from that job that I moved out here for. And I was lost. Like, I'd never been laid off before. And anybody who's ever been laid off, you know how it feels, especially the first time. It does not feel fun. Like, you feel like, what the fuck? Like, especially if you've been there for a while or whatever, or think promises were made. And at that point, like, I was actually working on a podcast for them. Like, spending most of my days, working, developing a podcast that will never see the light of day, that literally just died. The day I got laid off, it died. And I wanted to punch somebody.
Throwing hands. That's
how are my ends supposed to meet?
Exactly.
And so I, you know, being in LA, we had just moved there. I don't think we had been there for a year at that point, or maybe it was just at a year. So we were still new to the city. And I was still learning a lot about weed, like coming out here. Like, I knew I smoked weed, like I fucked weed. I've been smoking weed since I was 18, but I was learning that it's a plant, that it's an industry. And that's when you really piqued my interest. I said, industry. And I just started like paying attention and going to events. Like, if somebody invited me, I met a really cool chick out here named Joy Clark, who she's the founder of Mahogany Mary, which is a cannabis events company. And experiences, and she like, we used to work together at that place that I moved here for, and she was also like side hustling as an events kind of coordinator in cannabis and putting on these cannabis events. And I was like blown, because like, I'm coming from New York, and bitch, what, a whole cannabis event? What is cannabis? What cannabis? Like, I was just doing a lot of Googling. I went to like one of her events, and I was just like, wow. And I was like, dang, she's fucking cool. Like, you know, meeting a Black woman who smokes weed is like, that's my dream girl. Like, I'm about to fuck with you. Like, we about to be friends. Like,
the besties.
Bitch, we friends.
That's my best friend.
That's exactly, like, girl, we are friends. So, we've actually known each other for the whole time I've been out here in LA. She's, you know, one of my friends now. I consider one of my closest LA friends, definitely. But she kind of put me on. Like, she had a card, a business card and everything. And I was like, what? A business card for a cannabis job? What the is? And so I was like, this was like, you know, I've been here since 2016. So this is like 5 years ago almost. And this is before California legalized adult use of cannabis, which basically said that anybody over the age of 21 could legally buy, you know, cannabis within certain limits and parameters. But before that, you had to do the whole thing where you had to like go to the one of the 420 doctors.
Get
your medical card.
Say you can eat. You didn't have an appetite. Right. Okay, back sleep. Was hurting. Right.
Yeah. Right. You know, I got cramps. I got some depressed or something like that. And they give you your card. And then you go in a dispensary and you just go get what you need, what you want. And the thing is that back then, what they snuck into the laws when they passed adult use, well, among a lot of things, one of the things they snuck in is that they capped the THC limit on the products. Because before 2018, if you were in a dispensary and you bought some edibles in LA, you could get like 1,000 milligram brownie.
Oh, hell. Oh, what the?
Be on your back.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, shit.
And so there were like really high, crazy high THC amounts in edibles that, like, honestly, I don't mind it, because it's like, if you just know your portions, then it's fine. But now everything is capped at 100 milligrams, I think, almost probably to like protect people in a sense. But like, it's definitely something where, you know, you have to kind of really be careful and read your laws when you're passing, like, you know, all that glitters isn't gold just because they're like, yeah, we're going to approve adult use in your state. Like, you know, read the fine print.
So
that was like,
with that, yeah. Really quickly, do you think that, do you one of those people who wanted to be the thousand, you want to pull up and get the 1,000 milligram brownie, huh?
So, when I moved out here, I was still very I smoke weed. I've been smoking weed since 18 years old. I'm 32. I would like to say I've been smoking weed all my life. Like, shit. Like, it feels like it. So, yeah, you know, like, I feel like, yeah, you know, like, that's a long ass fucking time. So, yeah. I feel like when I came out here, I was like, oh, like, I can't handle whatever. I was wrong. I got laid on my ass many a times by smoking flower. Dabs have laid me out, and the motherfucking edibles, especially in 2017 and in 2016 shit, because like, we got 1,000 milligram brownie, not really understanding what 1,000 milligrams meant. Like, because like, you know, and or in of it, 1,000 milligrams of THC, and I'm like, well, what is THC? Is that what you get you high? Oh, okay, so that's good. That's good. 1,000, perfect. And then just taking, you know, like okay, maybe in reading the instructions, obviously, and they always just start with a small little amount or whatever. So it's okay, let me take a corner. Not really realizing that corner I took was probably way too big anyways, and I probably should have took like half of that size.
Yeah.
And ended up getting really high, feeling like, oh my gosh, these edibles are gonna kill me out here. Like, I can't do this. Like, it's so, I was so paranoid from that fucking corner of a brownie. Like, I was laying on my couch staring at the ceiling and everything was fucking spinning. I was like, oh, I'm gonna die. Like, this is it. I'm falling into the universe tonight. Like, I just don't know if I'm going to make it out of this. Now, being where I am today with cannabis and everything that I have learned, I would have just told my high ass to go get some CBD and smoke it, or go fucking chew on some pepper and you'll come down from your high. Like, I would have just, I would have known how to. Yeah, I would have known how to curb the, I'm too high kind of thing, you know, because that's what makes it not fun.
Yeah.
But if you have the stuff in your house to bring you down, I mean, then afterwards you're just like, oh, shit, that was a close one. You know, and then keep doing whatever you're going to do, or
the detox.
Redose appropriately. Yeah, you do what you need to do. But telling people that, like, and I get it's protecting people from, you know, over-consuming, and there isn't a need for these high dose, you know, products on the market, but like, that kind of regulation is just like, if you're willing to regulate in that kind of way, what other things, like, are you willing to say we can and can't do with this, you know? So that's like just the interesting thing to me about that. But so I was laid off from my job, and I decided that fuck all this shit. Like, I'm way fucking talented, you know. I, in every job I'd been in, I had more degrees. I was fucking smarter than my boss. Like, I have my bachelor's degree in journalism and my master's degree in journalism from Columbia University. Like, I'm an Ivy League bitch.
Okay, y'all said credentials. Credentials.
You know? And I've got managers who only have a bachelor's degree in something that maybe is journalism, and that some fucking school I never fucking heard of. Like, what the fuck are you doing? So it was always really, you know, I realized that, like, it wasn't that they were more qualified than me. It was just that they were white. And therefore, they always made more money than me. They always got their ideas approved. My shit never got approved. They always, like, they were microaggressions. It was, like, the worst thing ever. And then I was covering Ferguson. I was covering Philando Castile. I was covering every black person that died.
Putting you making you deal with the trauma.
Right. And not realizing at the time, because when you are a young journalist, you just want to get the jobs and do the things. But like, now that I can look back on those years, like, I was burnt out. I was stressed. I needed a therapist. Like, I needed therapy because every day I was watching these videos and I was dealing with microaggressions and that, like, there's no way to categorize that kind of trauma, which that's really what it is when you're in a hostile work environment where there are very few people that look like you and you're all going through the same traumatic event. So it must be normal, right? Wrong. It's not fucking normal. So once I just actually come to the realization, like, a couple of years ago, like last year helped me realize, like, I don't think I can work in journalism anymore because it's not for Black people, or at least in my experience. And I realized that there are other ways to tell stories without being attached to a major corporation. I've had some really great jobs, don't get me wrong, and working in those jobs that are really helped me to launch Blunt Boy Mama, because I met a lot of smart people working at those companies. I met people working at those companies who are still my friends today, or I still fuck with and will, like, help them out, or they'll do me a favor, like, one of those things. Mm-hmm. But, ooh, child, the racism. I was like, I want to start my own shit. I need to do my own thing. Like, I've been wanting to do a podcast. I've had podcasts shut down. Nothing has ever, like, seen the light of day. That any idea that I really had, just a few. And I really wanted to do a podcast. But I was like, let me do a parenting site. And then I thought about it, and I was like, I don't want to compete with, like, Scary Mommy and all those big ass fucking, you know, like, I can't compete with that shit. But then I was like, well, I want to talk about Black shit. I want to talk about stuff for, like, brown moms. And then I thought about it, and I was like, wait, I want to talk to moms who smoke weed. I smoke weed. I'm a mom. And so then I started looking, and I didn't see any other Black women doing it at the time who were seen as, like, a major, major influence in the space. And so I was like, wait a minute. Like, this ain't right. Like, Black women definitely smoke weed. Like, this is not right. And then I realized, like, racism, girl, that's all it is. And so I was like, I got to that after that layoff and, you know, everything, I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to stop asking for permission. And I'm going to just do everything I want myself. It will be harder because I won't have a whole team, a whole fucking machine behind me to make everything happen. But I know how to do these things because I've worked as a journalist for all these years for all these great companies. I still got my notes. I still got my contacts. Like, I still got my education. You can't take that shit from me. So I'll just build my own. So I was smoking weed with my man one night or day, whatever. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Because we were high. But right. We were smoking weed. And I was like, what am I going to call this? And I love Lil Wayne, right? I fucking love Lil Wayne's music. And I grew up on it. And he likes Lil Wayne. And he was just, like, blunt blowing. And my daughter, who, like, we only had one kid at the time, calls me Mama. And so he was like, blunt blowing Mama.
There it is.
Like, yeah, we'll put some words together. That's one thing we're going to do. Put some words together.
And make it a thing. That's how it started. And I just posted my first photo on Instagram. And it was only an Instagram page at first. And I was working for a long time on a website. And I finally got a website up. And then it was only just a website and Instagram for a really long time. I got pregnant, had a whole other child. And then I started the podcast. And the podcast will be 2 years old in May. And the Blunt Boy Mama podcast is really what, like, blew everything up, honestly. And it made sense because this is what I've been wanting to do for years. Mm-hmm. But white people kept telling me no.
Right.
You just need to do it for yourself.
And I just needed to do it for myself because, you know what? If I would have done it for any of those companies, they would have owned my podcast. Mm-hmm. They would have owned my work. They could have fired me or done whatever and take my shit and put a...
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wished for an extra hour in your day? What would you do with it? Maybe it's finding time for a run, a nap, or simply being there for a friend. But often, life feels like a race against the clock. What if you could carve out time for what truly matters to you? Therapy can be that guide, helping you prioritize what's important and make time for it. Whether it's setting boundaries, learning coping skills, or simply becoming the best version of yourself, therapy empowers you to take control of your life. When I've been called to therapy, it's been during times when I felt like I've needed to really center myself and regain control of my thoughts, feelings, and actions. And let me tell you, it has definitely helped. If you're considering therapy, consider BetterHelp. It's convenient, flexible, and entirely online. With just a brief questionnaire, you can be matched with a licensed therapist who fits your needs. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. Take the first step towards a more fulfilling life with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bravado today and get 10% off your first month. 10%, y'all. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bravado.
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right. No fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank. It's a community. With Boost, you can increase your SpotMe limit by receiving boosts from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Another bitch in my seat.
Yeah, so, that's what they'll do. They'll like, where's another black mom who smokes?
Period.
There she is.
And you know,
there she is.
You know, a lot of times, like you were mentioning with racism, black people, we're always stigmatized when it comes to smoking or doing anything that our white counterparts are doing. like now weed is now legal, but we have so many black men, I mean, just people of color specifically, that's who I care about, serving time right now for marijuana usage or having marijuana on them. So what were a few reactions, or if you can recall any reactions that you might have gotten when you've discussed your use of marijuana as a mom? Like, is it mostly positive? Did you have some negative reactions? Like, what's that been like?
There is, like, I can honestly probably count on one hand. And I've been doing Blunt Boy Mama since December 2017. And I can count on one hand the amount of times I've gotten, like, hate or somebody saying something, like, really vile because I'm a mom who smokes weed and I'm advocating for it. Mm-hmm. I have not heard, and a lot of people don't want to outright say, like, mom should smoke weed. And I'm not saying mom should smoke weed, but I'm saying that you should look into it, or you should look into cannabis consumption methods. Like, you don't have to smoke it. You can drink it, eat it. You can fucking do a lot, rub it on your skin, rub it on your pussy. Like, you can do a lot of shit with it. Yeah.
Hold on. Let's
back it up.
Rubbing it on pussy. Now, what does that do?
What does that entail?
Do you put a little bit of the butter? What
are we doing?
The butter.
Is this supposed to be done with a partner?
Huh? Yeah, we're in California.
Oh, I'm about to put y'all in Southern California.
We're in LA.
Girl, we in LA. Come on.
You're
now.
In LA?
Yeah.
All right. I'm about to put y'all on game then, because y'all about to go hop and make some orders now. So, okay. There is a product by Foria, which is F-O-R-I-A. I'm not even sponsored.
Now I'm gonna be a blunt blowing mama, because I done put this shit on my pussy and now it's doing
it. Woo, I'm gonna be a blunt blowing auntie.
It's an arousal oil by them that they make, and it has, like, not even that many ingredients. It's so natural and organic, and then it also has cannabis in it. So the oil is infused with, like, THC, and all you have to do is put, like, a couple drops, like, directly on your clit. You can put it on, like, other, like, around and the vulva, in the vulva, inside your actual pussy if you want to. Dodge it all in, right?
What?
And what you will feel immediately, the blood rush and the sensitivity.
I'm already feeling a little blood rush.
I've grabbed my titties.
In addition to using it, like, with my man, because it's amazing, right? But, like, I use it by myself.
Come on.
Because, like, talk about making playing with your pussy even better and fun. Like, I come quick. So I'd be
I
got a little sensitive cuckoo, so I don't, my little coochie is sensitive, so I can't be, I will fuck around and get a yeast infection.
Well, no, so the thing is that the ingredients are so natural. It's like coconut oil, and actually I have the bottle right here.
Read them to me, shit, because
bottle probably all sticky.
It's literally like 5 ingredients.
What are they?
Right.
So we can check if there's any allergies.
Period.
Because this is made by women for women. So they're, like, really serious about that. Because, yeah, you use some of these products on your pussy, you end up with a yeast infection, a rash.
Girl.
Like, all this crazy shit. Because that is made by men, or it's made by people who don't have vaginas and don't understand that you can't be just throwing everything inside of a vagina.
Period. Right.
To be all right the next day.
Right, okay. Exactly. Then I'm taking a difluken.
It's like, I want to have fun, but I don't want to be paying for it.
Exactly. So the ingredients, oh my gosh, you guys are going to die. Here are the ingredients. MCT coconut oil, THC oil, THC oil from sun-grown cannabis. That's it. So it's just coconut oil.
Oh.
And okay.
Run it. Give me a little. I need euphoria, you say, girl? I'm gonna be a blunt blowing mama.
But have you used this with your boo boo, with your bae?
Yes, we did for Valentine's Day.
Come on,
sweet treat.
Bomb.
That's what I was thinking.
So what you would do if you put the suppository in your pussy and then you put the arousal oil, like, all around your pussy,
too much.
You're basically turning it into an edible.
Oh.
So whoever wants to eat up down there will have to eat with caution. They might get a little too high. No, they're not gonna get too high, but they'll definitely get a little contact high.
You'll get high, double high. Because didn't Toni Braxton say she'll get too high?
She probably had the suppository in there.
So you said that you haven't gotten too many negative reactions when
I have not gotten that many. negative comments. If anything, I've gotten an over, to say overwhelming is actually like not even the word. It's more than that. I've just gotten an overwhelming response from women saying thank you, or asking me questions, or, you know, especially being like, thank you for doing this for Black women. Thank you for doing this for Black moms. Thank you for doing this for moms. Like, thank you for just being real. Like, and people saying, because of you, like, I continue to consume while I was pregnant. I just had my baby. Here's a baby photo. I got so many baby pictures. People like, here's my baby. I just gave birth. Thank you so much. Or like, you know, I'm breastfeeding. Can you help me? And they'll be like, you know, my baby just turned one. Thank you so much. Like, I get it all the time. That's what I get. And before I started making any money with this damn thing, that was the currency for me. Like that, and it still is the currency for me. Like, every time I get those messages, that motivates me to keep going, because there are days when, as you guys know, having a podcast, where you just be like, ooh,
girl. Yeah, girl,
another,
yeah.
Another Thursday. My podcast comes out on Thursday, so another Thursday. Like, tonight, I'm going to be up, like,
doing girl. What you got to do.
Do what I got to do.
So, that's good that you don't get too many negative reactions from mothers. But what about the people, like, because you just said that some people, like, breastfeed while they're doing cannabis, or they smoke throughout their pregnancy. How does that work? Because I know we hear from doctors, like, you should not be smoking while you're pregnant. Does that only apply to tobacco? Like, what is that?
So, like, here's the thing. Like, I'm going to, like, say a little disclaimer. I am not a medical professional. Mm-hmm. I am not a legal professional. So whenever anyone has any questions regarding topics around cannabis or any sort of medications that they're considering taking while pregnant or breastfeeding, you should consult with your doctor, medical professional, or legal professional if you're seeking legal advice.
Okay. Period.
Now, with that being said, I would never tell anybody to not smoke while pregnant, because facts are facts. And here's a fact that you're not going to get a quicker onset from any other way of consumption of cannabis or hemp CBD than smoking it. When you smoke, those effects are immediate, like snap your finger, boom, then you're going to, you know, that nausea might go away. Snap your fingers, boom, that headache is gone, or those cramps are gone, or that depression starts to fade away. And it's going to happen that quickly. So if you are in dire need of relief from whatever you may be going through, I would never say don't smoke, you know? So, but I also would never say don't smoke if you live in a state like Alabama and all you can get your hands on is weed. There are no tinctures. There are no, like, you're in a dry area and somewhere where it's heavily stigmatized and, you know, punishable. Mm-hmm. So I would never advise somebody to, you know, oh, well, don't smoke, but that's all they got. Like, what are you going to, you have to work with what you have. I would advise them to think of other ways to consume it, like buy a device. Like, if you're really serious, buy a device that can help you decarb your weed and turn it into tinctures and edibles. Like, there are products on the market to help you do that. And so that's when it really becomes like a discussion. I hate saying like, should you or shouldn't you? It really is whatever the fuck you want to do, because you're a grown ass woman and you know your body, and these medical doctors don't know your body. They can't tell you what to do with your body. They can only advise you based on the research and learning that they have done, you know, but they are not God. So they don't get the final word over you and your baby. Because the moment you become a mother, whatever bitch you were before, like, she's gone, and now the bad bitch is in the building, and like, she only cares about her baby. And so by instinct, I have never spoken to a woman, and even in my life as well, and who I am, who would ever do anything that would harm their child. The moment you become a mother, you are a fucking lioness, and you're looking out for your cub even when they think they're grown. So, you know, like, it's definitely, you have to trust the mother, and we have to be instilling in mothers to trust their intuition and to always know that, like, mother knows best, because you do. Like, this is your child. You created this. This is blood of your blood. and you would never harm your blood, right? So let's like stop saying like, oh, you should or you shouldn't, because like, fuck that, you can't tell somebody what to do. Now, like, obviously alcohol and tobacco, like there are studies that show the harm that can be caused from that. And I don't think we need to be debating that at this point, because we know that they also cause things, you know, those things cause issues to your body even when you're not pregnant. Right. So like, why would you do it while you're pregnant, you know? Right. Cannabis, on the other hand, like nobody's ever died from, not reported on the books, like died from an overdose of weed or something like that, you know? Yeah. But if you're smoking blunts, then maybe if, and you're pregnant, it's maybe time to switch the papers, right? Mm-hmm. It's maybe time to switch to pipes, to glass. It's maybe time to not dab because you are pregnant, and you don't need high THC contents because you're not trying to get high. If you're dealing with depression, you're trying to consume enough so that you don't feel depressed. Right. You know, if you're dealing with chronic pain or any other sort of, you know, genetic or, you know, hereditary diseases or whatever you may have going on in your life, like you want enough, just like if you're taking a Tylenol, you know, you take one now and then you take another one in like 4 hours and you have like your little consume whatever you're going to consume and then you do it again. And it's intentional and it's mindful, but like, I would never say like, don't do it, don't do this or how. I would just give you, I would say, okay, what do you have access to? What are you working with? And then let's just work with people and figure it out, because there are mindful ways to get this medicine that you need, because when you deprive your body of what it needs, it starts acting out. Like,
right.
Stuff starts happening. And pregnancy, women are, we are so trained to think that our whole lives should be painful and hard and full of challenges because of our body, because we're just, because we're women and that's just how it is. Like, mm-hmm. we're just supposed to go through, you know, and that's just not the case. Like, cannabis can help us enjoy every stage of our lives, like enjoy sex, enjoy after sex, enjoy being pregnant, enjoy having a baby, enjoy breastfeeding, enjoy, I don't know. I mean, I hope I can enjoy going through menopause if I'm high enough. But you know what I'm saying? Like, just to enjoy, because we go through a lot with our body. Enjoy your periods every month. Like, it can help you, because life shouldn't be hard. Like, we shouldn't always be in pain. Like, that's just not what it is. If we just lean into our bodies and understand it more, and show it more compassion and help it be balanced, balance our endocannabinoid system, which is, you know, a system in our bodies, give it the cannabis that it needs so that you can be at homeostasis, so that you aren't feeling so much anxiety, you know, so that you aren't so irritable or so tired or something. Like, you're something is off, you're experiencing a deficit, you need some CBD in your life, you need some THC, or you probably need both. But I always tell everybody that everybody needs some CBD in their house, like, period.
I agree.
Even if you don't smoke, you gotta have CBD. It's so good for you
to rub it on yourself.
I have tons of,
yes,
that's what I use.
Yes,
I have love sleep blend that.
Yeah, I love, lately I've been using a CBD body butter, which I'm still moisturized from this morning if you want to feel. And I also use a period soothe salve that has about 200 milligrams. And I rub that on my belly, my abdomen, and my back to help with my period discomfort. And I mean, you guys have heard the ads in our show, because we really strongly believe in this company, Ned, and it's just the fucking shit. So I know, Shanitria, that you're doing really tough work, because there's so many stigmas, like you've been speaking about, surrounding marijuana usage, especially marijuana usage for mothers. So how does it look, and what specific actions do you take when you're trying to, I don't even know if you're trying, but like, change people's minds and destigmatize the usage of marijuana? Like, it's kind of, it has to be hard, like, changing your mind.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm gonna hit this bong really quick. Hold on.
Yeah, girl. You, I wish I had one. Brittany, get a bong.
I barely even shit. The bong high is something different. While you're hitting it, I'll say a quick story about my bong experience.
Oh yeah.
One time, I was with Abu, and we were with his friends, and we were smoking out of the bong. His friends had a bong, and I believe they provided the marijuana too. So everybody had hit the bong, and that high, I mean, that seems like it immediately goes to your brain the way I was coughing. So after about 2 minutes, I was like, I started feeling shook and paranoid, and I was telling him, I'm like, everybody needs to go. I feel like they're trying to rob us. Everybody needs to go. I feel like they're trying to rob us. And he was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, look at the way they're looking at you. They are trying to set you up. This whole thing is a setup. So he had to take me outside and get me together. And we got outside.
Doing
and I'm
slapping like, your face. Pop, 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 pop.
He had to take me outside and get me together. I'm like, they have to go. What I won't be is robbed. They have to go. So he went in there not knowing what the fuck to tell them. And I was texting him. I'm like, please tell them to go. Like, I feel like they gonna kill us. Da 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 da.
Okay.
So
go to bed.
He finally got them out of there, y'all. Then the next day I woke up, I was still high. I had to call out from work. It was like that bong experience, but really with weed, I have to be careful because there's always a slight feeling of paranoia.
Yeah, it always comes with me.
There's always a very slight feeling with that. So
if that happens to me when I'm on the edible. Ooh, I hate an edible. I hate a fucking edible.
Yeah.
I've had some really sick ass experiences recently. You know, I dabbled in a little Delta 8, which I didn't even know what the fuck Delta 8 was.
And I didn't either.
It's too high.
High is an understatement. I was right there at Jesus' feet. I'm like, hey, Lord, it was 25 milligrams of Delta 8, whatever the fuck. And
you had the whole thing?
I did.
The thing is, Shanitria, Germany told us that it was a CBD gummy.
That's what I thought.
She said, have one of these CBD gummies.
You still shouldn't have 25 milligrams of CBD to start. You should still... All right, go ahead, and then I'm going to tell you where you guys went wrong, and I'm going to...
Yeah, I went wrong once I opened it. Once I opened it and popped it in my mouth, I went wrong.
Yeah.
But I said, I was under the impression it was CBD, something nice and relaxing, and I don't do edibles all the time, so I don't know anything about the dosage. That's another thing.
Yeah.
So I just popped one in, offered one to Brittany, the pill-popping animals. So then we're like chilling in, and all of a sudden we get really high, and I'm like, damn, like, what the fuck? And we weren't even able to really do anything. So then I'm like, bitch, it's the Delta 8. I was so scared to even drive home. I live 4 minutes away from her, less than a mile, and I was so afraid. I was like, bitch, I cannot go home. I was terrified off the Delta 8. And another time I took an edible. My memory was like, I felt like it had expanded and opened up. I was remembering shit from like a regular day when I was 7 riding my bike.
Oh,
it was my day-to-day memories coming back to me. And I was kind of scared because
you
I was like,
that wasn't shrooms?
No, girl, it was an edible. And I kind of was scared. And I was like, let me help you hurry up and suppress this because I don't want no dark shit coming up down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the guy I was dating at the time was working on some music. And he had his back was to me, girl. He was in a computer chair. And when he turned around, he had no neck. His head was just, it was just head and shoulders, okay? No knees and toes.
Head and shoulders, knees and toes.
The neck was completely gone. His shit was just floating. I'm like, and this at this time, I have to go to bed. I was like, I cannot stay up with my thoughts. Uh-uh. Oh, so that was my experience. I tread lightly when I'm dealing with the edibles.
Same.
Very. I could just go like, just a little bite.
Yeah, the edibles are a bit different.
What you have to do is always have CBD on you. So even like, I'm not afraid to have a bad edible trip or edible be bad because I have a CBD joint that I can grab, smoke that shit, and I won't be high anymore, just like that. So always keep CBD in your like CBD. Don't nothing else. Like you can have the tinctures and all that. That shit is cute because it does work. But as far as effectiveness as like your backup from when shit gets crazy, you need like a pack of CBD joints that you can smoke like on the fly. Like I'm talking like at 1 a.m. you know, fucked around and had that edible and you too high and everything closed, you can't get nothing. You should have some CBD joint. So okay. You smoke that shit, you're immediately, you'll be like, oh, that was fun, but that won't do that again.
Okay.
You know, like, or you, yeah so always have that in your house. And then another thing is, we like to say in the cannabis industry, there's a little phrase that whenever you're starting anything with like THC or Delta 8, is that you need to make sure you start low and go slow. So start with a low dose and build on it slowly. So start with like a quarter, you know, of whatever it is that you're about to consume. If it's a tincture, take a quarter dropper full, right? If it's a if it's an edible, then, you know, don't have half, have a quarter of the edible. Or I like stuff like Plus gummies and Camino gummies and Lost Farm gummies. because they say that like one gummy is 10 milligrams or one gummy is 5 milligrams. And I always, if you see something that's 5 milligrams, I say start with 5 milligrams. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel anything in like 4 hours, then you could have another 5 milligrams, you know, and then you'll know like next time, oh, maybe I could start with like 5.5, you know, but don't just jump into 10 or 20 or something like that. You got to, so if you start low, you'll know as you go up, okay, woo, all right, that's the one. I felt that one, you know, then you'll know like, okay, I'm going to do it this way next time. But if you get too high, you have your CBD and smoke it and you'll be fine. And then you don't even have to get CBD THC. You can get like literally just get really good CBD hemp flower that you can order online anywhere. There's a lot of cool dope brands that sell CBD hemp flower. And just have it in your house and just in case. And so you can explore edibles as long as you are prepared and you have the stuff in place and you are starting low and going slow. It should actually be a fun process. Like I started exploring last year because I met somebody who cooks and makes really delicious infused cookies. And it was just so good. And every time I ate her cookies, I would get high, but she would tell me like how much to eat. And you know, if I do this and it's going to be this and it's going to be that, but her food was so good and the high was so good. I was like, shit, like, I think I like fucking edibles now. Like, this is great. You know, but you have to know what you're dealing with. You need to know like what your dosage is and what you can handle. And once you know your limit, then you can fuck it up. Then you can eat everything and try everything because you know what your limits are. Yes. Now there will be those one chance that some, because sometimes it's like brands be like, is this amount of THC? And I'd be like, right. So like, you know, sometimes you still got to be a little bit cautious, but like if you're familiar with the brand or whoever the person who's making these edibles, then you should be able to get the same dose every time and get the same, you know, effect that you're looking for. So
great advice. I love that.
Experiment. Yes. You gotta experiment.
Yeah. So that was a little detour from the question that Germany had asked you about how
started talking about our story.
Yeah, about how you can destigmatize the use of marijuana. Like, what would your approach be like to change someone's mind about smoking weed?
Well, here's the thing.
Or do you not give a damn?
Well, the thing is, you have to, right? Because oftentimes when you're talking about, you know, the stigma and having to talk to people who may not understand why you smoke weed or you're, you know, you're hiding it from them, it's because they don't know, right? So this is usually like family. This is like your parents, mm-hmm. you know, usually like your close friends or cousins, aunties and uncles and shit like that. It's definitely not like, sometimes it can be your partner or the person you're dating too. Like, I mean, if you really want to go down that rabbit hole, I just say fuck them, don't date them. But I have seen it work. So it just depends on how much work you're willing to do. And it does take a lot of work to change someone's mind, so to speak, or to at least get them to see the change in that they were lied to or whatever it may be, you know, about this plant. And it's a lot to take in, especially mm-hmm. if it's an older person you're talking to.
But
seeing is believing. They see you, they see how you compose. Like for my mom, I just told her last year about Blunt Boy Mama. And I peeped that I started Blunt Boy Mama in December 2017. I just wanted to show with Black parents, you got to show them that you're making money so that they know that you're not coming back to them trying to ever with a handout. They got to know that you're financially good.
And then they fully support after that. Okay, that's my baby.
So I had to, you know, explain to her that, you know, I'm getting paid this amount, I'm doing this and da da da. And she was just like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I always knew it was over racism anyways. Everything's about being Black. And I was just like, yeah, mommy, it really is about racism. It really is at the end of the day. She's like, well, you know, I'm not going to do that because I do not smoke. But you can send me one of your little t-shirts and I'll wear it around the house. I'll support my baby. And if you need anything, you let me know.
So did she know if you was it always like public knowledge, or like did your family know that you've smoked this whole time since you've been smoking since you were 18? Or has this been something that was under the, radar, nobody really knew about it?
So the funny thing is that everybody knew in my life. Like my cousins, like we're all really close. We all knew. All my friends know I smoke weed, mm-hmm. and that my man smokes weed. My man smokes weed, so obviously he knows. Like, some of my old coworkers, like they know. Like, if you get close to me, and you come to, especially you come to my house, like you're gonna be like, oh, this bitch smoke weed.
Period.
You're gonna know I smoke. Like, and we go out somewhere, you're gonna know I smoke weed. I'm gonna step outside, and when I come back, I'm gonna smell like weed. So either you're gonna come with me, and you're gonna smoke with me, or like you know whatever, hold my drink. But like, I'm gonna go smoke weed. So like, it's definitely not something I hide in that respect. But my mom found out I smoked weed when I was younger, like I think maybe in my early 20s or something. And she freaked the fuck out. And from that point, I was like, I guess I can't tell her. Cause mm-hmm. in my young mind, I couldn't really verbalize in the way that she could comprehend without reprimanding,
right.
You know, that this is why I consume cannabis. You know, it helps me with social anxiety. It helps me to get creative. It helps me go to sleep. It helps me, you know, to do all these things. I couldn't really verbalize that. And now I can. And that definitely makes a difference. But so I hid it from them. So they really just found out that I smoke weed. And my mom probably like low-key knew all along. Because like one time she called me and I was really fucking high. And like she FaceTimed me. I didn't realize it was FaceTime. Shit. I answered it. And then my eyes are bloodshot red.
Shit.
And she thought I was drunk with my daughter. And I was like, oh, God, my mother. God, I'm just high. Leave me alone. You're not helping me right now. I'm trying to chill.
Right.
And so she was like, I'm just worried about you. Like, I don't know what kind of parent you're trying to be. Right. And I'm like, oh, we're going to go. We're going to hang up the phone now. And so, like, that was a while ago. But I just remembered that. And I'm just like, she's just not ready for it. And so I told her last year because I was just like, well, this is what I do, you know, right. Like this is my life. And I want my parents to know who I am. If something should ever happen to me, you know, heaven forbid, I want them to know who I am. I don't want anybody else telling them about me. I want them to know everything that I'm doing because I'm their child and I owe them that much. Like they should know me more than anybody else.
Period.
Because I am part of them. So that's why I told her. And I just want her to know me more and my stepdad as well. And they're like, okay, cool, girl. It sounds all right. I don't do that, but that's good for, that looks good on you.
That's funny because like in the reverse, I'm wondering how it works like with your kids knowing that you smoke weed because me, or if they know, because I know my mom, when I was a kid, she smoked weed, smokes, but I didn't know. Like yeah, I didn't know until I got a little older. I'm like,
I think I was like 15.
Around that age as well, and this wasn't something that was like broadcasted, so I'm assuming that she didn't want me to know. So how do you feel about like your kids and knowing that you smoke and your partner smokes? Do you tell them exactly what you're doing? Do you say this is mommy's
relaxation
time? Like how does that conversation go? What is their knowledge?
Definitely. They know. They think they know everything, but they don't know shit. But like they know what they know what we tell them, and we're really honest with our kids. Like they know what CBD is. Like we have a CBD balm that we rub on their back at night after bubble baths. They use CBD bath bombs and they love them. And like my daughter knows, like if something hurts, like if she's got like a little bruise or something, or I don't know, like a little pained area on her body, she'll be like, mama, can you get the CBD? Because she knows that that's going to help with that pain. It's going to make it go away. So like they know it in that way. But then they also, like, I think I posted a while ago on my Instagram stories. People were like, oh, my gosh, that is so, you know, incredible. I had, like, bought a bunch of new bongs, and my daughter was, like, playing with them. She was, like, looking at them. And I put it in my stories. And, like, this is just my life. Like, she knows that these are bongs. Like, I told her, like, these are my bongs. You can't touch these, you know. Mm-hmm. These are very, you know, they're made of glass. They're really sharp, so it could hurt you. And like this is my tool, like these are my toys. Like,
oh,
are
my I thought toys. You said my tools.
They're also my tools. But they're also like my toys. And I'll just be, but I just feel like sometimes I just tell them like this is mama's stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, oh, that's mama's stuff. I'll be like, yeah.
God.
Stuff. Is there, don't touch it, like the boundaries
right.
have to be in place.
Is there a sense of like so with the boundary aspect? Although they know that you smoke, do you still kind of shield them from it, or do you just like toke up right then and there in front of them?
No, I don't. So I, you know, I don't judge how anybody parents their kid, because if you want to piss somebody off, tell them how to parent their child.
Right.
And I don't got time for that kind of drama. I don't want no smoke. But I would say that for me personally, I do not smoke in front of my kids. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to pull out a joint and light it and be blowing smoke in my baby's face. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not my thing, you know, personally. And when it comes, like, right now, I'm in my bedroom, the door's closed, our son, our two-year-old, he's taking a nap in another room, and our daughter is watching Disney Plus in the living room, and I got the window open, I'm in front of the window, and I have my joint going.
Right.
And usually, like, it's like ventilation. Like, if I'm smoking a joint, which, like, I do, but I don't think I smoke it as much just because they do get so smoky. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll do a joint in a bathroom and, you know, hotbox myself in there or something. Or I'll do a joint in my kitchen and have my, you know, hand near the window or my room and, like, make sure I'm in front of the window. But usually, like, that's why I like vaping. I like dabbing. I like bongs, because the smoke dissipates quickly. It doesn't linger in the air, especially a dab. Like, it literally is gone the moment you blow it out. Mm. And it's more like a vapor than actual, like, smoke. So those kinds of things I prefer, and I'm more conscious of. Also, just because, like, you know, I do have neighbors and stuff. Like, I live in an apartment, and I don't want to.
You want them all in your business.
You don't want them calling on you.
Like weed sometimes, but, like, you know, it's like, I don't want to be smelling like weed all the way at the door.
Right. Yeah.
Like, we at the back of the building. So it's like, you have to be, you know, conscious, because, like, you can't still get in trouble for, you know, like, that kind of stuff in your own property. So I'm always, as a renter, I'm always conscious of that anyways. And that's why I always, when I go to people's houses, I'd be like, is it cool? Or do you want me to go outside? Because, like, I don't want no smoke, because you get fined something from your landlord. Don't be looking at me. You ain't say nothing. So I always ask people, like, you know, is this cool? Because, you know, that's, everybody's different about their spaces. Some people smoke weed, they smoke blunts, joints all day, and they only smoke outside. They never smoke inside of their apartment.
That'd be me.
Home.
That'd be me.
Yeah.
Most times, like, I stand outside.
I'll do it sometimes, but other times I smoke. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm at my desk working, I'm going to light up a joint, or I'm going to pack a bowl and smoke my bong while I'm working at my desk. But my desk is also right in front of the window.
Yeah.
So I'm blowing right out of the window.
The herbal pre-rolls, I've been smoking inside.
Yeah. And they'll smell good.
Yes.
They'll smell really good.
Yeah.
Right. And the more we have these conversations and there's resources like, you know, Blunt Blowing Mama, then we can normalize the use of marijuana and destigmatize and create, I guess, just a feeling of, like, approachableness around it, where there's not shame, and then we don't grow up dealing with it. Like you mentioned with your experience with your mom, I'm pretty sure you're going to develop a great relationship with your kids around cannabis and even just the level of honesty available there. So, Shanitria, let our audience know where they can find you, what you have going on, and how they can join the Canamom community. I love saying Canamom.
It's such a word. I don't know. It's so weird, but it is cool. I'm like, all right, we just did that. We just made a word.
Yes. I love it. It sticks. Canamom.
It is. It makes sense. I love it. So many things going on with Blunt Boy Mama, and I've just been working. But you can find Blunt Boy Mama on Instagram at Blunt Blowin, and that's BLOWIN. Mama, MAMA, and that's also the handle on Twitter. Blunt Blowing Mama's on Facebook. You can go to bluntblowingmama.com, click on podcast, and you can listen to the podcast, or you can subscribe on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the platforms. Mm-hmm. And you can check it out. I'm like over 100 episodes in, because I just like working, and I'm a mobster. Yes. I'm crazy. So if there's topics that I've definitely covered before, sex and relationships, boom, I talk about it all the time. Pregnancy and weed, I got stuff on that too. Breastfeeding and cannabis, I talk about that all the time. I talk to doctors, nurses, a lot of experts, moms who share their own stories, entrepreneurs, And yeah, if anything, just follow Blunt Blonde Mama and you'll know all the things all the time. And yeah, that's it.
I love that. Thank you for sharing all of that. I'm pretty sure someone is going to find that very valuable. Yeah, we love resources.
We do. So you all that information will be down in the show notes as well, so that you can hit Shanitria up and see all that she has to offer. Thank you so much, Shanitria, for taking the time to kiki with us today. We appreciate you.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm such a fan. Keep going. Keep doing everything that you're doing. I saw when y'all put up the video on Instagram of your celebrating your 1 million downloads. Yeah. Congratulations, by the
way. Thank you.
That's iconic.
Thank you.
Iconic. I aspire.
You're on your way.
When I hit my milli, I'm like, should I just basically like be like, sorry guys, but I'm stealing your
idea. Yeah. Take it. Take it, girl.
Again. Take it. But definitely, you know, you guys are doing a damn thing and definitely inspiring for other Black podcasting women like myself coming up and trying to be like y'all, because it's consistency. It's the consistency for me.
That's what it is, child.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. We're going to chat with you. Make sure y'all follow Blunt Blowing Mama for all things Can a Mom.
Yes, yes.
We'll talk to y'all soon.
All right.
Bye. Thank you.